Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, your host. Joining me this morning, Bethany Haley Williams. She is the author of The Color of Grace, How One Woman's Brokenness Brought Healing and Hope to Child Survivors of War. She's a psychologist. She's also a doctor, a psychologist, and a counselor. And she's founded Exile International. And good morning to you, Bethany.
Good morning.
Tell us about Exile International.
Sure. We exist to provide restoration through art therapy and holistic care to child survivors of war and rescued child soldiers.
Wow, that's major. So you know there has to be a really deep and crazy story behind it all. So share with us your story and why you created this.
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, my background is in counseling, and so that is part of my heart. And I've actually gone through my own journey through trauma, depression, actually becoming suicidal at one point, making broken decisions out of broken places, and international travel has always been part of my heart. But mm-hmm. I went to the Congo in 2008 and came back from that trip pretty wrecked. I had done international travel work before and short-term mission trips. But it was on that trip that I met rescued child soldiers for the first time, and they asked me to be their mom, and I had women trying to give me their children, children just so traumatized because of what they had seen with the war being so severe that they couldn't speak. So I had never experienced anything like that before, and you know, was able to firsthand hear about the region that we were in, how 40% of women and girls had been raped because of the wars of Congo.
Yeah.
So I came back knowing that something needed to be done, and I really had a choice whether I was going to go ahead and return back to my Western world.
To your life.
Yeah, and pretend like it didn't happen and look away because it was too big, or really kind of dive into the darkness and try to make a difference.
You know, it strikes me when missionaries come back and talk about in different areas how mothers love their kids so much that they would give them to you just to get them out of what they are in. And I just thought, what a loving thing to do for a parent. And you know that has to be very, very hard.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, some people can be confused by that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're living in a war zone and you know that there's a chance that your child can be taken or stolen or brainwashed or forced to kill, then, you know, you're forced to make some really tough decisions. And that really helped me also to realize that there's a hope that needs to be given to survivors of war, especially to children who've been orphaned by war. I feel like children who've been orphaned really belong to all of us because they don't belong to parents anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we have a responsibility.
So now you're a psychologist, an expert. So as an expert, talk about what seeing those atrocities, the killings, the rapes, the brutality of it all, what does that do to a child?
Well, you know, most of our children that we work with, that, you know, we have programs, we have ongoing programs both in Uganda and in Congo.
Mm-hmm.
We have a rehabilitation center in Congo, and most of our children have post-traumatic stress disorder
mm-hmm.
symptoms, and that can be flashbacks, and that can be, you know, nightmares, and it's not anything that really any of us can wrap our head around unless we've experienced it, when you're forced to kill your parents or you're forced to see your father be murdered,
mm-hmm.
you know, with a machete.
Mm-hmm.
There's no place we can put that in our head. And so for a lot of these kids, the process of healing is just very, very slow.
Yeah.
And we use the arts in the work that we do, and we have a specific program that we walk the kids through. That had, the program has been written for children of war and former child soldiers in it. It's a trauma care program. So, and it's led by local leaders on the ground, which I think is really important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we my husband and I, who run the organization, we're in Africa about 3 months out of the year, but we haven't been in war, and we don't have scars, you know, on our bodies mm-hmm. because of the war. So mm-hmm. I think it's really important for local leaders to lead those programs, and we're seeing an incredible difference. The kids that we work with are actually going back to their villages where they were forced to kill to do dramas about peace and reconciliation, and they write songs about forgiveness, and they're teaching their community about reconciliation and forgiveness and what peace can look like. It's pretty beautiful.
How does the community receive them when they come back?
That's a great question. Traditionally, the communities don't receive the children very well who've been in war. They're rejected, especially if they were forced to kill in their communities. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, they're seen as the little rebels, you know.
Right.
But one of the vision that we have and one of our missions is to help destigmatize the kids. So when they're able to go back to their villages and they're able to say, "I'm in school now," and they come in groups. We often do a peace ceremony where some of the kids in our program go up into the mountains and they meet with recently rescued boys and they wash their feet and they pray over them. And they teach them kind of about what they've been learning about trauma care and forgiveness and healing. And so members of the community see them as leaders. They don't see them as killers.
Right, right. So when you came back home, And you saw all of this, and then women saying, "Please take my children," was the spirit just like gnawing at you about you got to be that change?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't an option. Like, not doing something really wasn't an option.
Yeah.
And I can't really put my finger on, like, what happened, but I just knew that not doing something wasn't an option, and I had to find out what that looked like. And from there, it was just piece by piece and step by step. Mm-hmm. Our sponsorship program started because it was my birthday. And I was like, okay, supporters of Exile International, this is my birthday. And I would really love for some kids to be sponsored. And by the end of the day, there were 5 kids sponsored. And now we have over 100 kids in our sponsorship program. So, yeah, I think people thought I was a little crazy because when you go into a war zone, and a lot of times by yourself as a woman, it's not the safest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the kids that we deal with live there, so who am I not to go there and try to offer some sense of help, whatever that looked like.
So how did your, and I don't know if it sounded like what you were going through personally was traumatic, but how did it affect how you went forward and were able to help the children? You know, how did it correlate your trauma to their trauma, you know?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I definitely can't compare the two because mine was definitely a drop in the bucket
right.
compared to what they've gone through. But I think it connected me to their heart
mm-hmm.
Because I know for me, I needed someone to believe in me. At one point, especially when my journey led me to a place of becoming suicidal, I needed someone to believe in me and someone to tell me to hold on. And mm-hmm. for me, that was, I know that God believes in me. If no one else believes in me, I know God believes in me. And I wanted to send that message to these kids that the whole world may give up on you. And they may think, you know, you were forced to kill your parents and you're an orphan. Like, how can you be leader of your country? And I wanted someone to speak to them, God believes in you.
Mm-hmm.
He sees you as more than your past, more than what you were forced to do. So I do think it connected. And the program that I wrote, the workshop that I wrote, really came more from what did I learn through my journey of trauma? What did God teach me?
Mm-hmm.
More so than this is what I read in a book.
Oh, yeah, it's experience. It's your journey. You know, it's a part of your journey.
Yeah.
So, and that's really important. I think, too, that in any situation, when there's no hope, all is lost. So giving those kids hope, talk about, you know, and you've touched on it, but how these kids have changed because of the hope that you've given them and the people on the ground there have given them through Exile.
Well, I think, we have a lot of our kids, and I'm just thinking about Baraka right now. We were just in Congo a couple weeks ago, and he said to me before I left, he said, when I was in the bush, I thought I would die. And I didn't think that I had a plan for my life.
Mm.
He said, but now God is using my life to help other people. So he's actually, he's a graduate of our program. And what we found out on our last trip is he's actually meeting with rebels 3 times a week.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's studying with them. He's mm-hmm. studying the Bible with them. And then he's also using the trauma care program that we use to teach them about the importance of forgiveness and love.
Mm-hmm.
And he did this all on his own. So he realizes that his life was saved for a purpose. And I think that
that's awesome.
There's power in believing in someone,
yeah.
you know. And I think he's feeling that because he saw people believe in him, and that's now orchestrating itself in other areas where now he's bringing hope to the very rebel group that he was a part of before he was rescued.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to pray, put him on our prayer list every day because
mm-hmm.
it's dangerous what he's doing, but I know that God has his hands around him. He really does.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What are the ages of these children, and are there girls?
Yes, there are girls. The average age of a child when they're abducted is 12,
mm-hmm.
and the girls are abducted as much as the boys are abducted. But I think whenever, you know, normally we hear child soldier, we think of boys.
Yeah.
The tragic thing is that the girls are rarely rescued. So when we meet with the UN, when we go back, you know, to Congo and meet with our programs, we typically do meet with the UN, and they'll show us the list of kids who've been rescued. So
mm-hmm.
on this last trip, there were 100 children rescued just in the very short time that we were there, and none of them were girls. And that's because the rebels will hide the girls
mm-hmm.
Because they're used as sex slaves. They're also used as child soldiers.
Okay,
they have children, you know, from the rebels. They're
mm-hmm.
cooks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, it's very tragic for them, and it's something that I pray daily. You know, how do we get the girls out of the bush? That's something that keeps me up at night a lot.
Yeah, yeah. That's, wow, because the girls have so much more usefulness, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, I think we do have girls in our program, and one in particular, her name is Alice, and she's actually in university now.
Oh, great.
She's getting her degree in counseling in order to work at the center
mm-hmm.
and be a counselor to the girls that are there. So there, you know, there are girls that do escape.
Yes.
And it's really powerful to kind of see, you know, the strength. It's just, it's amazing just to learn from them. I think in the end, you know, the book really talks about that too, how I learned as much from them as I did bringing any sort of healing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I really wanted to do in the book was to highlight the children's stories to amplify their voices. So we asked them a few years ago to write letters to President Obama
mm-hmm.
To try to really bring awareness to the situation. So we gathered 200 letters, and we had an opportunity to deliver those to the White House. And some of the letters are in the book, the very stories of the kids. And then the book ends actually with words from the kids. I asked them to write a letter to the world, and what they wanted to write about was forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted the world to know about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's from kids who've been through what they've been through. Talking about forgiveness is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It is phenomenal. And there's hope. Tell folks where they can get the book from.
Sure, yeah. Your local bookstore, any local bookstore should have it. And then, of course, Amazon. There's a website, colorofgracebook.com. There's a video on there, some other stories. And then our website is exileinternational.org, just to find out more ways to get involved.
Exactly, exactly. That's what we want to know. Beautiful book. And, you know, just takes one person. And you were that person. It just takes one person. Sometimes we think, it's like you said at the beginning, that is too big and I can't do it. But look at the difference you're making. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. The Color of Grace, How One Woman's Brokenness Brought Healing and Hope to Child Survivors of War. The author is Bethany Haley Williams. Thank you so much for joining us, Bethany.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.